Carl Lundquist was president of Bethel College and Seminary in America. And in speaking on the subject of fasting, he said this: "My own serious consideration of fasting as a spiritual discipline began as a result of visiting Dr. Joongon Kim in Seoul, Korea. Is it true, I asked him, that you spent 40 days in fasting prior to the evangelism crusade in 1980? Yes, he responded, it is true. Dr. Kim was chairman of the crusade, expected to bring 1 million people to Yoida Plaza. But 6 months before the meeting, the police informed him they were revoking their permission for the crusade. Korea at that time was in political turmoil and Seoul was under martial law. The officers decided they could not take the risk of having so many people together in one place. So Dr. Kim and some associates went to a mountain and there they spent 40 days before God in prayer and fasting for the crusade. When they returned and made their way to the police station, oh, said the officer when he saw Dr. Kim, we have changed our mind, and you can have your meeting." Carl Lundquist goes on and says, "As he went back to the hotel, I reflected that I had never fasted like that. Perhaps I had never desired a work of God with the same intensity. His body is marked by many 40 days fast during his long spiritual leadership of God's work in Asia. Also, however, I haven't seen the miracles Dr. Kim has." And that's recorded in John Piper's book, A Hunger for God. Now, the recounting of that story about fasting, what do you think of it? Do you just discount it as being absolutely weird? Do you see such a thing as the actions of overzealous and fanatical people who take things too far? Or do you maybe see it as the actions of people on a different spiritual level to what you're at or will ever be at? The actions of super Christians that you truly admire but never seriously expect to be like them. What do you think of the idea of fasting for 40 days or for a week or for a day for spiritual benefit? When fasting is mentioned, what do you think? Carl Lundquist, who I just quoted from speaking about Dr. Kim, he also said this about how he personally responded to the challenge of fasting. "Instead of taking an hour for lunch, I use the time to go to a prayer room. There I spend my lunch break in fellowship with God and prayer, and I've learned a very personal dimension to what Jesus declared. I have meat to eat, ye know not of." Now, it is probably unrealistic that you would start fasting with a 40-day fast, and nowhere does the Bible demand that we fast for 40 days. But the Bible does expect Christians to be involved in fasting. Yet today, fasting is one of the most neglected biblical practices. Donald Whitney, in his book Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, says, "For some Christians, fasting for spiritual purposes is as unthinkable as shaving their head or walking barefoot across a fire pit. In most Christian circles, you will rarely hear fasting mentioned, and few will have read anything about it. And yet, it's mentioned in Scripture more times than even something as important as baptism. Fasting is mentioned 77 times in the Bible. And fasting was once very common in our Presbyterian church here in Ireland. The week before communion, there would have been an appointed fast day, during which people focused on their relationship with God and in seeking God's blessing. And we'll consider at the end of the sermon why fasting has been so neglected. But let me just say something very important at this point. How you respond to this subject of fasting this evening will probably be an indicator of your spiritual appetite. Your response in your heart to this message will in many ways show you how hungry you are for God. Let me mention 10 biblical purposes of fasting. These are quoted in Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, an excellent book by Donald Whitney. Number one, to strengthen prayer. Nehemiah did this as he prayed for the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem. Number two, to seek God's guidance. In Judges 20, the children of Israel fast to discover if they should go to war against the tribe of Benjamin. Three, to express grief. David and his men fasted when they heard that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. Four, to seek deliverance or protection. Queen Esther fasts with her maids before going in to see the king. Five, to express repentance and return to God. The people of Nineveh, after Jonah's preaching, fasted. Six, to humble oneself before God. In Psalm 35, David says, I humble myself with fasting. Seven, to express concern for the work of God. Daniel does this as he prays for God's work of bringing the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. Eight, to minister to the needs of others. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the Lord wanting a fast that will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and free the oppressed. Nine, to overcome temptation and to dedicate yourself to God. We'll consider in a moment or two Jesus in the wilderness. And number 10, to express love and worship to God. You remember how when Jesus was born, he was met by the elderly Anna in the temple, who regularly fasted and prayed in her worship to God. And I hope you can see from those purposes that fasting is something that has a very wide and varied purpose. Fasting is something very important in the Bible, and it is something that brings great blessing to God's people. But what I want us to do is to look at four passages which we read briefly that show Jesus teaching on fasting. If you've got a Bible, turn first of all to Matthew 4, the incident of Jesus in the wilderness, fasting in the wilderness. There has just been for Jesus the great spiritual high of his baptism, when the Spirit of God descended upon him in great power to empower his human nature for the ministry that he had come to do. And he also heard those lovely words from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, as we might expect, at that crucial point in his life, the devil comes to attack and to tempt him over a period of 40 days in the wilderness. And Jesus fasts to seek spiritual strength for his ministry and to overcome the attacks of the devil. And so here we see a very important purpose in fasting. It is to go without food and to concentrate on God in order to gain spiritual strength for the road ahead. Now, if Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, needed to fast for strength, then we who are fallen and weak, sinful creatures, we certainly need to fast as well. Fasting is a means of receiving God's grace and power into our lives. It says here in verse 2 that after 40 days, Jesus was hungry. And I say that's an understatement if there ever was one. And the devil comes to tempt him. Verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And by this answer, which is a quote from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, Jesus is showing to the devil, and more importantly, he is showing to his father that his priority was doing his father's will and not meeting his own physical comfort or needs. And when we fast, that's what we are exactly saying to God. This going without food is us saying to God, what you want is more important to me than food. What you want is more important to me than physical comfort. I'm fasting, Father, to show you that I believe that spiritual things are more important than the physical. I'm going for this time without food to show you, O God, that I take you seriously. Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness was a reenactment of the 40 years that the children of Israel had spent in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And during that time, you remember, they constantly failed and let God down. Now, how Jesus responds to the three temptations the devil brings to him is by quoting from Deuteronomy each time, using passages which deal with the Israelites' time in the wilderness. And I believe what we're meant to take from this is that were God's people in the Old Testament constantly fail God, God's Son was constantly victorious. He succeeded and obeyed God. And Jesus wins the victory over sin and temptation for his people. And when we fast, what we're seeking to do is to feed on the spiritual strength of Christ, who fasted all those years ago in the wilderness and was triumphant. So fasting in the wilderness teaches us that fasting is to show God that we believe that he is more important than physical things, and to feed on Christ for his strength. But let's go over to Matthew 6 and what Jesus teaches here about fasting in secret in verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In Jesus' day, it appears that fasting was a very common practice among the Jews. But sadly, it was greatly misused. And many Jews fasted in order to be seen and to be praised by others. And Jesus called these people hypocrites, coming from the word for actor. And these people were putting on a show to look impressive. They would fast, but when they would meet someone, they deliberately looked gloomy and sad. And when they were asked what was wrong with them, that was their great moment. That's what they were waiting for. So someone would say, what's wrong with you? And they'll say, oh, I'm not feeling too well. I'm fasting for the Lord. And their desire was that the person would go away thinking, what a wonderful spiritual person that is who is fasting. It was all for show. Some fasted for the praise of others, but some fasted for self-praise as well, in order to feel good about themselves. This we see from the Pharisee in the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple to pray. And remember what the Pharisee said in the temple? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, the unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so this man's fasting was all about making him feel good about himself. His fasting inflated his pride. Now, let's be careful here. This is a very subtle danger. In fasting or in any spiritual discipline. Fasting is not to be done for the praise of others or not for the praise of ourselves to make us feel good. Jesus calls here for fasting to be done in secret. Verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And this shows us that fasting is for God's eyes. God is to be the focus and the priority in fasting. We fast not to receive anything from man, but from God. We fast to please God and to show our commitment to God. The hypocrites who fasted to please others got what they were looking for when they fasted. They got the praise of man. But in their fasting, they receive nothing from God. In fasting, we are to do it to enjoy God, to enjoy fellowship of God, to enjoy his presence in our lives and to enjoy his blessing. Now, this does not rule out public fasts for a church or a nation. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3, King Jehoshaphat called for a national fast at a time of great crisis when there was a threat of invasion. In Acts 13, we see how the church leaders met together to fast and pray, seeking God's will and his blessing upon the first ever missionary trip. So public fasts are not forbidden in the Bible. Jesus is not forbidding public fasts, but he is emphasizing that all fasting should be done for the right motives. And if we fast in private and we make it a point of letting others know that what we're doing, then surely we have to question, what is our motives? Fasting is to be done in secret. It's to be done for God, for his attention, not for the attention of others. Let's move over to Matthew 9. And this section about fasting for the bridegroom. As I said, fasting was very common in Jesus' day. And it really surprised people when they didn't see Jesus and his disciples fasting. And in verse 14 there we read in Matthew 9, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. Jesus was saying that fasting was not to be expected by his disciples when he was physically present with them. For his disciples to fast when he was there among them would be like someone going to a great celebration, like a wedding reception, and eating nothing. Here we see that Jesus links fasting with mourning. Verse 15, notice that. He says, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Fasting is showing that we're yearning for something that is missing. We're mourning for something that is missing. The disciples can't do that when Jesus was physically there with them. But when he leaves them, then they will fast. Because they long for his presence. Fasting at that time will express a hunger for Jesus, a longing to experience Jesus. When Jesus was on earth and his disciples ate a meal, they enjoyed the fellowship of Christ as he was physically there with them. But when he returned to heaven, Jesus would not be physically present with them. And so by fasting, they were showing that they were longing for those times they had in the past when Jesus was there in their midst. Not only does fasting show a longing for those days when Jesus was there, in their fasting through faith, they would experience the spiritual presence of Christ. No longer the physical, but the spiritual presence. This longing for the bridegroom was one of the reasons why fasting took place before communion services in our Presbyterian church. At our communion services, during the breaking of the bread and the taking of the wine, we believe that Christ is spiritually present. He is among us to feed us, to commune with us, to have fellowship with us. And so the reason why people fasted in the week before the communion service was out of an expression and a desire to have that sweet communion with Christ, for to be real through the Spirit being among us. So we fast because we're hungry for Christ. Hungry for his presence. Hungry for reality. The last passage, fasting for faith in Matthew 17, verse 14. This incident took place immediately after the transfiguration of Christ. Remember when he was up in the mountain and he was changed in that glorious brightness? And then when he comes down from the mountain, he comes across a very distressed man whose sin is possessed by an evil spirit, or whose son is possessed by an evil spirit. And he comes to the disciples for healing, but they're unable to cast the spirit out of the boy. why they can't do this when Jesus had given them the authority to do so. Why couldn't they do it? Jesus had given them authority to do this. Well, we get the answer why they couldn't in verse 17. There in verse 17 we read, "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." In verse 20, he replied, "Because you have so little faith." The disciples' failure was due to the fact they were unbelieving. They had a lack of faith. Now please keep that in mind. The problem was a lack of faith. But then we go on to verse 21, which sadly NIV has been put in the margin. And Jesus says, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." They would only be able to cast out this evil spirit with prayer and fasting. Now we need to realize and be careful here, because prayer and fasting are not to be treated in a mechanical way, like going and putting coins into a vending machine in which you instantly get out a drink or chocolate or something. The purpose of fasting and praying is to strengthen faith. That was the problem, a lack of faith. And fasting and praying develops our relationship with Christ, which in turn brings us into a stronger faith and gives us a greater power to do the work of the Lord. So we need to ask, as we fast and pray, are we focusing in the right way? Are we focusing on Jesus? Are we seeking to get him, to know him better? Are we being strengthened in our inner faith as we concentrate on the truth of who he is? That is why Christian fasting is more than just going without food. Christian fasting is to go without food with the purpose of focusing on Christ in prayer and in the study of his word. So what have we learned from these four passages? Fasting in the wilderness, we're to fast for strength for the road ahead. Fasting in secret, we're to fast to please our God, not to impress others or ourselves. Fasting for the bridegroom, we fast because we're hungry for Jesus. Fasting for faith, we fast to focus on our Lord, to grow in our faith in him. Let's close with two questions. First of all, why has fasting been lost today among many Christians? I wonder if I ask people to put up a hand who has fasted in the last month, for many would be able to do it. Let me give you a number of reasons why I think fasting has disappeared. Number one, we've got away from the Bible. And we tend to live our Christian lives today not by what we read in the Bible, but by what we see happening around us. That's disastrous. Secondly, our comfort in this world, and we've been so comfortable in these past years, has meant that we have lost our appetite for God. The physical has been more important than the spiritual. And thirdly, there is a loss of passion for the Christians to see God moving among us. I believe those are the three reasons why fasting has disappeared. We've got away from the Bible. We're too comfortable in this world. We have no passion to see God moving. But if you've been challenged tonight, where do you start in fasting? Let me suggest that someday this week that you skip your lunch, spend the time in a quiet place, reading your Bible and praying, doing this to show your seriousness to God. Now, a few people may be unable to do this for medical reasons, but the vast majority of us will be able to do this, and medically it's good for you. There are many reasons why you can do this fast. You can do this fast to express your concern at the state of your own spiritual life and your walk with God. You could do a fast out of concern for the spiritual condition of the members of your family or neighbors. You could fast to show your concern for those around you who are unsaved. Or you could fast in order to seek God's blessing upon what's happening in your church. What about all Christians taking a day this week, a lunchtime this week, to go without a meal and to spend that time reading God's word and praying for the mission next year, praying for the loss? The great Baptist preacher C.H. Spurgeon said this: "Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. Tell me, are you hungry for God? Is the Lord more important to you than the things of this world? Show it by fasting." Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your precious word. But we realize, even as we've been studying this together, the enemy will be active. He'll be trying to hold us back and trying to stop us from taking spiritual matters too seriously. Oh, Lord, help us not to listen to his lies. Help us to listen to your truth, to your word. Father, like our forefathers of old, may we be people who seek the blessing of God, who seek the presence of our Savior through fasting, through prayer. Oh, come, Almighty God, come down upon us and raise us from our sleep. Set us on fire, make us alive. A passion for our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.